If you've driven up and down Pembroke Street at all in the last month or so, you might have seen the sign outside of First Presbyterian Church. It says something like, "Fear not" appears in the Bible 365 times, one for each day of the year. Now, I've never actually counted the number of times that it says "fear not" in the Bible, so I will take their word on that. But I do know that probably a significant number of those times where we find the words "fear not" in the Bible, it's being said by an angel. Think about those stories of Jesus's birth and all of the events that surrounded that. Angels were appearing left, right, and center to Mary, Elizabeth, Zechariah, Joseph, the shepherds. And each time they appeared, they began with the words, "fear not," or "do not be afraid." We see angels depicted everywhere. They're carved on some of the tombstones in our cemetery. They're in artwork or little hangings you can buy at gift shops. Some of us might even have jewelry, necklaces, or earrings with angels on them. And I think the fact that we can find images of them everywhere says something of the importance of angels to us as humans. The importance of our yearning for things that our senses don't easily perceive, for the transcendent. Today in the church, we celebrate the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels. The feast where we spend some time thinking about and reflecting on angels. Some of the angels in the Bible are named. Many of them are unnamed. Sometimes we see them on their own. Sometimes they're part of huge choruses. The New Testament gives names to two angels, Gabriel and Michael. Gabriel is the messenger. Though terrifying in appearance, Gabriel's holy task is to proclaim the good news. Michael, who we heard about in our reading from Revelation this morning, is the warrior, God's army general. And even though we have names for only a few of them, angels are everywhere, pervading all of our scriptures. But in the Bible, when angels appear, they are never the focus. They're never the focus. Instead, they're a signal. They're a sign that God is about to show up, that God is about to make or fulfill a promise, that God is acting. Think about the reading from Genesis. Isaac, the son of Abraham, sends his son Jacob back to his uncle's home to find a mate. Having just cheated his brother Esau out of the blessing and inheritance due to the firstborn, Jacob is scared. He's constantly looking over his shoulder as he travels, convinced that Esau is going to appear and fight him. But Jacob needs to stop for a rest and sleep for the night. So he stops in an unlikely place, rests his head on a stone, and sleeps. And while he sleeps, he dreams of angels ascending and descending on a ladder to heaven. The scene in his dream is reminiscent of a ziggurat, which is an ancient stone building, much like the pyramids that you'd see in Mayan ruins in Mexico or like ancient temples in Thailand, buildings in which there was a stairway or ladder to the top where the deity was thought to live. Here, the angels in Jacob's dream are going up and down the ladder between heaven and earth, between us and God. And then God appears and speaks to Jacob. And Jacob unexpectedly receives the promise that he must have longed for, that God is present with him, that God is watching over him wherever he is, and that Jacob will father a great nation, the nation of Israel, who will bear witness to this God. The angels are signaling the presence and the promise of God. And so Jacob takes the stone that was his pillow and he sets it up on end as a marker. And he names the place Bethel, house of God, because God is here. And then there's this reading from the Gospel of John, where Jesus invites Philip to follow him as one of his disciples. And in his enthusiasm, Philip goes to find Nathanael and brings him to meet Jesus too. Nathanael is skeptical at first, but he comes to find Jesus. And Jesus takes one look at him and says, "Here is a true Israelite." In other words, here is one who sees God. Nathanael is astonished. And in that astonishment, he names Jesus as the Son of God. And Jesus seems to smile at that and says, "Oh, son, stick around. You haven't seen anything yet. You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You will see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." If that reminds you of the story of Jacob and his ladder, it's meant to. Because Jesus is saying that he is that ladder between heaven and earth. Stick around, Nathanael, and you will witness nothing less than God touching the earth. Nothing less than the meeting of God with God's people. Because that's what angels do. They signal and bear witness to God meeting with God's people, with us. When we find angels, we find God. So if we want to experience and encounter the holy, we need to be where the angels are, because where they are is where God is. But where is that? It includes worship. Here, gathered around the table with our church community, is a place where we encounter the risen Christ. But angels have other places where they hang out. We see the images of angels in the cemetery, and to be sure, those will remind us of people who have pointed us to God. But what about flesh and blood angels? A few weeks ago, we read from the book of Hebrews, where it says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." We might not always know the angels when we see them. They might hang out in unexpected places. Maybe we encounter angels when we're serving up food and having conversation with folks over lunch at the grind. Maybe we're speaking to them when we're dropping off food at the food bank. Maybe we'll welcome some through our doors this evening. Maybe we are reading them a book at the library or listening to stories and praying with them at care homes. Maybe they're in line in front of us at the grocery store. If even a fraction of those 365 fear nots are said by angels, that's still a lot of angels. A lot of places and people through whom we can encounter the presence of God in our lives. We celebrate the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels to remind us of that. If we want to get in touch with the holy, with the spiritual, with the presence of God in our lives, we need not get in touch with angels as if they were the source. We just need to turn up where angels turn up and then do what angels do. Worship and witness to the God of life and to the one who is our meeting place with God. And who knows? It might be that when we turn up somewhere, people will find us to be signals of God's presence too. Amen.